Easter Sunday is one of my favorite days of the year. We get to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus, and that means so much for us. For me personally, I love Easter because it means spring and summer are either here or coming really soon, and I love to golf. And so that means that I get to go out into the somewhat nice weather, we are in Michigan, and get out and golf. And depending on where Easter falls for the year, my favorite golf tournament is either happening or it's coming soon, the Masters. I know I'm looking forward to going home later today, taking a bit of a nap, and then waking up to watch the final round of the Masters. If you've been with us online here, you know we've been in a series called Real Hope, where we've been looking at the book of Colossians, and we've been seeing how Jesus is the foundation of our real hope. And today, Easter is really a culmination of all of that, how this day, his resurrection matters so much to us. And if you've been with us, you're like, wait, we missed a little bit of Colossians there. What's going on? Just pause for a second. We'll continue that series and wrap it up next week here online. But today we're going to move ahead and go to the book of Philemon. And you may be like, what in the world does Philemon have to do with Easter? Just pause for a minute for me. We're going to get there. But I want us to just take a minute and go backwards. We're going to go back to Palm Sunday just a week ago and talk about the events of Holy Week that are mentioned in Matthew 21 through 27. And so, Palm Sunday, Jesus enters into Jerusalem as king, and he tells his disciples, go and grab a donkey. And this is all to fulfill the prophecy that's found in Zechariah 9:9, where Jesus enters in on a donkey, riding on a colt that's never been ridden before until this very moment. And as Jesus is entering into this city, the people are there shouting, Hosanna, or save us, or salvation is here today. And they're lining the road with palm branches and in their cloaks, all in honor of Jesus, the King, that's coming to save them. And then Monday comes, and Jesus goes to the temple. And he throws out all of the vendors that are there who are just trying to make money off of the people, selling them animals for sacrifice at prices they really can't afford. And Jesus says, this is not what it's about. The temple is a place of worship. It's not a den of thieves. And then Tuesday, Jesus confronts the hypocrisy of the religious leaders. They come to him and they start asking him all these questions. And Jesus, in all of his wisdom, asks them questions back. And they don't know what to say. And then Wednesday is a day that I've always found incredibly interesting. It's the day that Judas agreed to betray Jesus. And if you know anything about the disciple Judas, you know that he's been with Jesus for 3 years. That's a lot of time. And one of the things that we can learn about Judas is that sometimes just because we're around Jesus, we're in close proximity to Jesus, it doesn't always mean we've allowed him to change us. And that's what we see in Judas. Thursday is a day that we celebrate in Holy Week, known as Maundy Thursday. And it's the Last Supper that Jesus has with his disciples. From that moment, we get communion, where we take bread and we break it and eat it together and remembering the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, how his body was broken for us. And we take juice and we drink it in remembrance of the blood that was poured out for us. And then on Friday, it's the day Jesus was crucified. It's the day Jesus breathed his last breath. And then Saturday comes, and it's quiet. You know, the people are there waiting and don't know what to do. the good news is, and you and I know, that Sunday comes. And in Scripture, in Matthew 28, 5 through 7, here are the words of what it says about that Sunday morning. It says that the angels spoke to the women. So Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, they went out to visit the tomb where Jesus was buried, and they get there and an angel speaks to the women and says, "Do not be afraid. I know that you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here. He's risen from the dead just as he said would happen. Come, see where his body was laying. And now go quickly and tell the disciples that he has risen from the dead. He's going ahead of you to Galilee. You'll see him there. Remember what I've told you." See, the reason we get together on Easter Sunday, the reason you're tuning in this morning, is to celebrate the fact that Jesus got up. He is risen. Jesus is the source of our hope because he defeated the grave. Jesus was the perfect sacrifice for our sins. And because of Jesus, him alone, you and I get to have hope. Real hope that we've been talking about. And so this morning, I just want to share with you a few thoughts that I've had. And they're pretty simple, but when we grasp what they mean, they're incredibly powerful for us. The first one is that because of Jesus, we are forgiven. This is the very foundation of everything. Paul tells us all about Jesus' death and resurrection for us. We've actually talked already about this passage that we're going to be in today. It's in Colossians 1, 19 through 22. And it tells us this. It says, "For God in all his fullness was pleased to live in Christ. And through him, God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by the means of Christ's blood on the cross. This includes you who were once far away from God. You were his enemies. You were separated from him by your evil thoughts and your actions. Yet now he's reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. As a result, he's brought you into his own presence, and you are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault." What this means is that Jesus was the perfect Passover lamb. He was crucified for you and for me, and for the sins of all of us. And because Jesus was perfect, he was sinless, he was blameless. He was the atonement, not just for a sin, but for all sin. In fact, in Romans 3, 23 through 26, it tells us that for everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. Yet God, in his grace, freely makes us right in his sight. He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty of our sin. For God presented Jesus as a sacrifice for sin. People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life, shedding his blood. This sacrifice is the one that shows that God was being fair when he held back and did not punish those who sinned in times past. For he was looking ahead and included them in what he would do in the present time. God did this to demonstrate his righteousness. For God is fair and just, and he makes sinners right in his sight when they believe in Jesus. Romans 6:23 continues to tell us that for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. Because of Jesus, you and I were forgiven. We're made right when we believe in Jesus. There's nothing else that we have to do to earn our forgiveness, but put our faith in him. even those of us, as Paul said in his letter to the church in Colossae, he says, even those of us that feel like we're far away from God, he says, God loves you. And God's arms are open wide, and forgiveness is available to us. All we have to do is say yes to Jesus. And this is the good news. Jesus came to us. He lived a perfect, sinless life. He died for us as a sacrifice and the atonement, payment for our sins. And Jesus rose again from the grave, proving death has no power over him, and neither does sin. And so when we put our faith in Jesus, it means that you and I are forgiven. We are children of God, and we're not defined anymore by what we have done, but we're defined by what Jesus did for us. Our lives then become transformed by the Holy Spirit, and we begin to look more and more like Jesus. This means that because of Jesus, we're meant to forgive. See, this is where the letter of Philemon comes in, and it's really interesting. It's a great example that Paul tells us about on how we're meant to live after we come to know Christ. What it means for us to actually forgive people. And so this book of Philemon, it's really interesting. It's written from Paul to the man Philemon. And it's about this guy named Onesimus. And Onesimus is actually a runaway slave who belonged to Philemon. And Onesimus found Jesus while visiting Paul in Rome. And Paul, as a Roman citizen, is obligated to return Onesimus to Philemon, as the law requires. And so Paul, in doing so, in writing this letter to Philemon, shows us how Jesus changes our relationship with those around us, even those others may consider useless. That's how people thought of slaves during that time. And so Paul tells Philemon that because of Onesimus' faith in Jesus, he's now meant to be considered as a brother. He's not meant to be seen how others see him, as a slave and useless. But Onesimus is now meant to be seen how God sees him. What's interesting is his name, Onesimus, in Greek, it means useful. And that's exactly how God sees him. And Paul says even that he is useful to the kingdom of God. Onesimus is now a brother. I love what Paul's doing here because it sounds really familiar, doesn't it? You know, we may discount ourselves and discredit ourselves and say, I'm useless in the kingdom, or somebody has hurt me and I consider them useless. But Paul says that's not what Christ is meant to do in us and not what Christ did for us. He says we're now useful. And when we see others who come to know Christ, and we see their lives being changed, they're useful too. We are meant to forgive in the same manner that you and I are forgiven. These are Paul's words here in Philemon 1, 17 through 18. It says, so if you consider me your partner, he says, welcome him, Onesimus, as you would welcome me. I love these words. This is so interesting. He says, if he has wronged you in any way or owes you anything, charge it to me. This means that we're meant to act like Jesus and forgive, just like we've been forgiven. Paul says, put the debt on me and I'll take care of it. It's just what Jesus did for us. What's interesting is this idea of forgiving people, it's hard at times. And I know it is myself. I'll never forget there was a time I was in a staff chapel service at the first church I got the honor to serve at. And we were a larger staff, so there was 30 of us. And we were in a staff chapel for the day. And, And I don't actually remember who was speaking. I wish I did. But I know we were in our prayer chapel of the church, and it was in a circle, and so we were sitting around the outside of it, and the speaker began to talk about forgiveness. And I was like, cool, I can get on board with this. Yeah, like forgiveness, I get it. We're forgiven. And then he said what I said, that because of Jesus, we're meant to forgive. And then he said this verse, 1 John 3:18. It says, "Dear children, let's not merely say that we love each other, but let us show the truth by our actions." And right away, a name came into my mind of a person that I needed to forgive. And that person was my dad. Part of my story is my dad left our family when I was young. And he left us in a hotel room without any place to go. I had a lot of reasons not to forgive my dad. I had a lot of hurt that I was holding on to. And it had been years and years and years that I was holding on to this hurt, almost defined by it at times. And in that moment, when I heard that we're meant to show the truth by our actions, his name came to mind, and right away I was like, no way. No way, this is not happening, not gonna do it. Give me somebody else. But his name kept coming up. And so I called him. I called my grandma first because I didn't have his phone number, and said, "Grandma, what's Dad's phone number?" And she gave it to me, and I called him and we talked, and it was so awkward. Like, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. It was weird, but it was something that needed to happen. See, I realized that being a pastor and telling other people that you have to forgive, I had to take the first step and do it myself too. And I know it's hard. Forgiveness is hard. It's very difficult. But the way I forgave my dad and talking to him, that doesn't mean that that's how everybody has to forgive. I just knew it's what I had to do. And the thing is, when we choose to forgive, it brings freedom. Forgiveness brings us freedom. The first way is when we actually choose to accept the forgiveness that Jesus bought and purchased for us. It means that we're forgiven from the eternal consequences of our sin. It means that we're reconciled and we're able to spend eternity with God. That's by his design. That's the way he meant it to be. And then when we choose to forgive others, we're freed from hurt that's maybe held us captive. There's an image that keeps coming to mind for me. And it's this game that maybe you've played once before. And it's called the human knot. And if you don't know what it is, I'll explain it for you. It's where people kind of stand in a circle and everybody puts their hands in, and you have to grab somebody else's hand around you, but you can't grab the person next to you. And what happens is you create this big old knot, and the goal is to then untangle it without breaking your hands. And it's really hard at times, because it feels like you have to climb through all these hoops. You have to do all these different maneuvers in order to get untangled together. But that's what forgiveness can look like. See, forgiveness, when we choose to walk into it and when we choose to forgive others, it untangles us from the eternal consequences that we have. And it also untangles us from the hurt that we experience, from wounds, from pain and despair that we may be feeling when we choose not to forgive others. See, the thing is, hurt, pain, despair, these are powers of hell. This is what the enemy uses against us. And he wants us to hold on to these things, to hold on to pain, hold on to hurt, to feel despair. But the truth is that when Jesus rose from the grave, He defeated all of these things too. We're no longer meant to be held captive by them. This is the beginning of Satan's losing streak. And so when we choose forgiving, what it means is we begin to choose to live in the power of Christ that's available to us. And as we're forgiven and as we begin to forgive, the knots that we have in our hearts, they start to become untangled. And as these knots become untangled, we allow for more room that God gets to occupy in our hearts. There's freedom when we accept forgiveness. And there's also freedom when we forgive others. One of the coolest parts of the story of Philemon and Onesimus is that Philemon actually did what Paul asked of him. And he forgave Onesimus. And what's so interesting is that Onesimus actually goes on to be a pastor following a man named Timothy in a church in Ephesus. See, for Onesimus, it was this literal freedom from this slavery. And for us, when we accept forgiveness and when we forgive others, it creates a freedom in our hearts. And so maybe today is the day that you choose to accept the freedom and forgiveness that Jesus purchased for you on the cross. I know you're like, I'm watching online. I don't know what that looks like or how do I do that. And if that's you, if you're saying, you know, today is the day that I want to accept Jesus. If today is that day, I just want you to leave us a message. I want you to send us an email. Contact us because we want to hear from you and we want to walk with you on what it looks like to live as a follower of Jesus, to live in that freedom, to live and embrace and extend that forgiveness that Jesus bought for you. Or maybe you've already given your life to Christ, but you feel like you need to forgive someone. I encourage you to do so. Don't hold on to pain any longer. Don't let it hold you captive. Don't be defined by it anymore. But forgive and live in the freedom that forgiveness brings us. Untangle your heart and allow God to occupy that space with His love. Or maybe you're like, I don't know if I need to forgive somebody, or I've already accepted Jesus. What about me? You know, if you just want to take the next step in your faith, if you want to get more involved, one of the great things we have is a course called Grace Point 101. It's where you can find out more about who we are as a church and how you can connect with us. If that's you, contact us, send us an email. We would love to hear from you. Or maybe you're like, you know, I've accepted Jesus, but I want to be baptized. I've never been baptized. You know, let us know because we want to baptize you as a public declaration of your faith. You know, this morning, as we end our time together, remember that Jesus is risen, and it's because of Him that we are forgiven. And when we accept forgiveness, and when we extend forgiveness, we find freedom. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. God, we thank you that we get the opportunity to gather together and celebrate Jesus, who rose from the grave. And God, this morning we're thankful that you sent us Jesus as the sacrifice and atonement for our sins. And Lord, if today's the day that we want to accept you into our life, God, would we put our faith in you? And would we just say, Jesus, today's my day. I know I'm a sinner. I know I need forgiveness. And today's the day I'm putting my faith in you. And God, if we need to forgive somebody, by the power of your Holy Spirit, would you help us? or if we want to take the next step in our faith, would you guide us and lead us in how to do so? But Lord, let us not move too quickly from this day, and help us to remember that Christ is risen, purchased our freedom, and we find freedom in his forgiveness. So Lord, we thank you for that truth. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much for joining us on this Easter Sunday. We can't wait to wrap up our series, Real Hope, with you next week. We'll see you then.